Now, a new underground coal gasification, or UCG, project has been approved at the site of the retired mine at Lee Creek in the state's mid-north. Now, UCG is essentially setting fire to underground coal seams to extract the gas. An independent assessment has given the project the all clear, but it is still causing concern among locals and environmentalists, not least because the technology has been banned outright in Queensland. Joining us now is Craig Wilkins from Conservation SA, who opposes the project. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Now, can you briefly describe to us the process of UCG and what effects can this have on the land where it happens?
Yeah, sure. So UCG is a process whereby, as you said in your intro, essentially the underground coal, some sort of coal seam, is essentially set alight. That they shove oxygen and some catalysts down into the coal seam, and then a process of combustion takes place, and then gas forms, and then they extract that gas. The big problem with the process is that because you're sort of doing such incredible damage underground, all sorts of potential cracks and changes emerge that are not really known until you have a go. And what's been shown around the world is that once you do it, gas tends to leak in places you don't expect. Mm. And because of the nature of the process, it's not just pure gas that comes up. It's a lot of byproducts, like in particular benzenes, which are a known cause of cancer and birth defects, and are something to be avoided at all costs. And yet, when trials were done in Queensland, benzene was found to come up in the ground in places where it shouldn't, and that's part of the reason why the local community up there are up in arms about the potential for it happening here in South Australia.
Sure. So how common is this technology around the world? Because you mentioned these are trials.
Yeah, the people have been trying to do it for a long time, and each time they claim to have solved it, but each time there's been problems. And so if you look around the world, it's certainly banned in Queensland because it caused what the then Queensland Environment Minister described as the worst contamination event in the state's history. But then it's also it's found to have caused groundwater contamination in the US, in Wyoming, in Colorado, a methane explosion in a plant in Spain. The US EPA have warned against it. As far as we're aware, the only sort of remaining commercial site anywhere in the world is in Uzbekistan. But most other places, like Scotland's banned it, there's a range of other places that have said this is just going too far, it's too extreme.
Craig, we've had fires in conventional coal mines in Australia before that have taken sometimes years and years to put out. Given that they're actually going to set fire to this coal seam, which doesn't sound very safe on the surface of it, how can they limit and how can they can claim to actually control the fire that they're going to create?
That's a very good question. It's certainly a question on our lips as well. Before the most recent sort of banning in Queensland, the company there, it's fascinating if you look back at their press releases and their various statements to the stock exchange, they were very confident that finally we've cracked how to do it properly and make sure we can do it safely. And the same assurances are now being given by Lee Creek Energy, the company who wants to do it here in South Australia. And so we just don't trust that kind of assurance because the track record is so poor. And the only way that you can really truly tell if it's going to work is if you actually do it. And by then, you've caused the damage. So that's why we've expressed our alarm at this approval for a trial at the old Lee Creek mine site, because The town of Copley is only about 7 kilometres downwind from the mine site, and when the mine was operating, the residents there often used to be able to smell what was going on there. So that they are very concerned that if noxious gases like or other byproducts like benzene that are released, that will inevitably come down to them.
How did the Lee Creek Energy get approval for such a marginal project?
That's a very good question as well. I'm not sure. I don't quite understand how the state's EPA and the state's mining minister would consider this an appropriate project. It is relatively small, so like there's no sense that it's going to open up a grand new bonanza of massive production. And the risks are so great. It just seems bizarre that in a state which has such wonderful alternative clean energy sources lots of other options, why would we go down this extreme path? It just doesn't make sense.
This project, they have been pushing for it for quite some time. And I think even the former Labor government said, you know, they were open to it, provided it passed some kind of independent assessment. Now, do you know what that assessment process involves? So how did they look at the situation in Queensland and say, well, you know, that's different to what we'll see here, where for the audiences, the Queensland project was run by Link Energy. It was fined $4.5 million and the company went into liquidation because of contamination caused. So do we know, have they said what the main difference is?
In Queensland, I think there were three different trials at three different sites, and all three ended up being closed down because of concern about contamination. So, the most famous one is the one you mentioned, definitely around Link Energy, but there were others which were also in trouble. So, that's part of our concern is that there is no track record of success around this. The company claims that because it is on the old mine site, the risk of contamination is less than in agricultural land in Queensland. But it's really interesting to sort of see the difference in an Aboriginal perspective around this versus a white fellow's perspective. The Undamutna, the traditional owners up in that region, are horrified that you'd actually go in and cause further damage to a place that's already been damaged by the mine. And their approach is to it's now time for the land to heal, which is very, very different to a white fellow perspective, which is, oh well, we've already damaged it, so perhaps we can have another crack. A very different approach to how you look after your land.
And it does take a very long time for land to recover from these things, particularly if there's an unforeseen disaster. So what is the strategy of Conservation SA and people who want to get involved to oppose this? Is it too late because it's already been greenlit? Or where do we go from here?
Yeah, so it's definitely not too late. There is there's been an approval for a short-term trial, the minister has assured us that they're going to have a fresh look at the end of the trial before they give approval for longer-term production. So there is a kind of a time period where we can have significant influence on the government around putting a stop to this. And I know that there is there's a lot of conversations going in the local area about what they will do in response, and we're very keen to support whatever they choose to do. But basically all options are on the table, and really encourage if people have concerns, on our website we've got some more details and an online petition, and that's a great way to register your interest. We're really keen to work with anyone in Adelaide or anywhere else across the state who has concerns, because this is one of those lines in the sand moments where we've got to say no to these kind of extreme climate change damaging technologies.
Well, we'll certainly include more information about that on our website for people to see. So, Craig, thank you so much for joining us on Breakfast this morning.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Craig Wilkins from Conservation SA speaking to us about the opposition to the new underground coal gasification project at Lee Creek. You're listening to Breakfast on Radio Adelaide.